the losers because of this situation in the mid-19th century. The bottom line was that two-thirds of all the men who died during the war on both sides died of disease. Two-thirds. One-third died from battlefield wounds or were killed outright on the battlefield. Two-thirds on each side died of disease. And some of the greatest killers were what we would call childhood diseases now, mumps and measles. Gone with the wind, when Scarlett marries her first husband, Charles Hamilton, he dies of measles in camp. Well, that was a very common situation, especially early in the war, when men were first going into the service, especially among rural boys who hadn't been exposed to many of these diseases where they grew up. The city boys actually fared better in this regard. Many of them had developed immunities to some of the things that struck down the country boys, but mumps, measles, and so forth took a tremendous toll, as did things like dysentery, chronic diarrhea, tremendous killers during the war, and things that medicine did not deal very effectively with. Dysentery, malaria, diarrhea, again and again and again appear in the letters that soldiers write home. My friend died of this. All of us are suffering from this. Partly it was the terrible regimen of food that they had. Part of it was that they lived in filthy camps, many of them. They wouldn't dig latrines in the right places. They wouldn't observe what we would consider the most basic hygiene. And medicine, in many instances, didn't help them out by telling them what to do. Men wounded in battle suffered miserably, many times lying on the battlefield for hours or even a day or more before they had any medical attention at all. And when they did get it, the best that the surgeons could do for the most part was deal with wounds to the extremities. You could amputate an arm or a leg that had been shattered by a mini ball, but if it was a wound anywhere in the torso, the conventional wisdom was it's untreatable. Put that person aside. He'll either live or he'll die, but there's nothing that we as physicians can do about it. We can cut off an arm or a leg, and there were untold numbers of amputations during the war. We can't deal with that kind of a wound and the infection and the shocks that come from it. Some men had horrible diseases, some had horrible wounds and lived, but they lived in spite of the medical care that they got in many instances rather than because of it. And in fact, many soldiers would write home in their letters and put in their diaries that they would rather remain in their tents and try to battle out a terrible bout of this or that disease or try to recover from one of their wounds on their own then put themselves into the hands of the surgeons and go into the hospitals where they thought they would probably not have as good a chance of surviving as they did on their own. And unfortunately, there was more than a little bit of truth in that. The bottom line is that we wouldn't want to be either sick or wounded if we were Civil War soldiers, because the care, this is no reflection on the surgeons and physicians involved. They represented the best of their craft at the time. It's just that their craft had not advanced to the point where it could deal with much of what was happening to these soldiers. If we step back and look at Civil War soldiers and try to assess how well they did in the face of the long marches and the horrible battles and the boredom of camp and the diseases that swept through their ranks, especially early in the war. Veteran armies suffered less from disease than the armies early in the war. You'd winnow out the weak soldiers early on, and as the war went on, you got down to really a core of quite tough men who didn't suffer nearly as much from the debilitating medical things that hit the army so hard early in the war. But how did they deal with the battles and with the marches and with the boredom and with the disease, the terror of going into a fight, the agony of the wounds that they received? I think that the vast majority served honorably, and they served well. Desertion rates between 12 and 14% for both armies. 12 and 14% of the men on each side deserted. Overall, the soldiers forged a record that did credit to them, and I think underscored the degree to which many of them, North and South, saw the conflict as one waged over very important issues and principles, important enough to keep them in the ranks, important enough to make them put up with a great deal of discomfort, sometimes discomfort beyond what any of them could even imagine. Overall, a quite stalwart set of men, I think, although I don't want to romanticize them. There were plenty of slackers and plenty of cowards and plenty of deserters. But on the whole, I think the record was quite strong on the part of both Confederates and Federals. So those are the men who are going to fight, who did fight the battles. Next time, we will move to our first great battle of the war. We'll look at First Manassas or Bull Run.